Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me. Jesus said to him in reply, Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, saying, This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's feast and the gospel are really shocking. We're so familiar with them that the shock has long ago worn off. But throughout the Christmas season, all of the readings that were preparing us for the feast of the baptism of the Lord, for the epiphany of the Lord in a sense in his public ministry, for the manifestation of the Father and the Holy Spirit about Jesus' true identity, we've been getting prepared to be shocked. What's happened before this? John the Baptist went out to the Jordan River. And everybody, including not only those from the whole Judean region, but also from Jerusalem, were going out to meet him at the Jordan. It was Jerusalem which was the center of the true worship of God. Everybody was making the pilgrimage up to Jerusalem for centuries. And things had been flipped. Those from Jerusalem were going down the mountain into the desert to the lowest place on earth, to the Jordan riverbed, in order to be baptized by John. It was signifying something really important, that John had been sent to turn the way the Jews were looking at things somewhat around, that there was real conversion needed. There was a form of baptism in Old Covenant times. The form of baptism was when converts came into Jerusalem. They themselves would be submerged in the mikvah and baptized, in a sense, as a form of conversion. It was unheard of. The Jews, who were already children of Abraham, who were already sons and daughters of the covenant, would ever be baptized. But yet that's exactly what John was calling people to do. And the multitudes were going out and lining up and being baptized by him as a sign of their need for repentance and for forgiveness of sins. And there were a whole bunch of others who were going out there too, we've heard in these last several days. People were going out wondering what John was doing, scribes and the Pharisees, asking whether he was the Messiah, asking for him to confess who he was, whether he was the long-awaited Elijah before the Messiah. And John intimating the state of their hearts and their unwillingness to enter into the waters, signifying conversion, said, You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Saying that the axe was laid not just at the bottom of the tree, the axe was laid at the roots of the tree, even going underground to cut away our addiction to sin. And then he announced that he was baptizing with water for repentance, but that there was one coming after him whom we should revere in such a way that we're not even capable of touching. touching his sandals. Even that part of him that would touch the ground we're not even worthy to touch, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the prelude to this. John was awaiting the one to come. God had already intimated to him that the one on whom he would see the Spirit descend like a dove, he would be the one to indicate as the Lamb of God who would come to take away the sins everybody was confessing as they were entering into the waters of the Jordan. That's what he was prepared for. He was not prepared for the one on whom the Spirit descended like a dove, getting in the same line and saying, "Baptize me." John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. I need to be baptized by the Spirit and fire. I'm totally unworthy even to touch your sandals. And you're coming to me as an act of humility, as if you have sin. You're going to take away all of the sins that people are confessing. Why are you in this line? This is not your line." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it for now, for that's it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, all holiness, all of God's plans." John wasn't going to understand the mystery. Jesus was asking him to embrace the mystery and not impede it, to recognize that his categories were insufficient for what Jesus was doing, but also to accept how what Jesus was doing was not arbitrary, but part of God's plan to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? If it were shocking for Jesus to enter into lines of sinners, to enter into the Jordan to be baptized, as if he had sinned, how much more shocking would it be for him to enter into a line of criminals on his right and left and be baptized by blood as a malefactor outside the city gates of Jerusalem? But that too was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And so John permitted it, without totally knowing why he was doing what he was doing. But at the Lord's words, he lifted the water up above Jesus' head and baptized him. Jesus was submerged in the dirty water of the Jordan. And when I was with my friends, they had all these ideas of what the Jordan would be like. Whether it would be like the Mississippi, whether it would be like the Nile, whether it would be like the East River. And it's a really slow, dirty body of water. It wasn't like a mountain stream, it never was. And Jesus entered into that dirty water in order so that through that dirty water he might make us sparkle. Jesus, as soon as he came on out, that's when three witnesses were given. The first was that the heavens were ripped open. This word for open, in Greek you can intensify words. So it's sometimes you do something with vowels to show that it's a more impressive action than just the verb. Sometimes you can double that intensification. Here it's tripled, which is really the only time that it happens in sacred scripture. Matthew triples it to basically describe the heavens were totally ripped open, almost violently. Jesus' baptism was the key that blew open the doors of heaven. And the Spirit descended as a dove upon Jesus. That the means by which, in a sense, Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as John had prophesied that he would, happened by Jesus' own being baptized by John, that the Holy Spirit came down, that same Holy Spirit who would come down upon the church as tongues of fire. Fire entered the water as Jesus entered the water. It was the second great witness. And then third, that voice. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now I know you know the scriptural references for these, sisters. First, this is my Son, my beloved. Do you know where that comes from? Between Psalm 1 and Psalm 3. The great messianic psalm about you are my Son, my beloved, this day I have begotten you, which we heard in Christmas. It's the great messianic psalm. And so when God the Father spoke, he was indicating Jesus the Messiah. Second, with whom I am well pleased. Any guesses on that one? Let me ask. Sister, huh? Isaiah? What chapter? Have you heard it lately? Yeah, Isaiah 42, today's first reading. The initial suffering servant song. With whom I'm well pleased. Let me just reiterate what we heard. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am well pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit, that this long-awaited Messiah and Son would likewise be the suffering servant and fulfill all that was going to happen in the baptism of blood on Golgotha. That's the witness that was given. All of heaven was ripped open to see it, and that is the means by which Jesus, in descending into the waters of the Jordan, would bring the Holy Spirit and fire to those waters. Why was he doing this? Ultimately, because his will was to bring all of us with all of our sins to die in the Jordan. Because of the intimate communion that would happen with us in Jesus in baptism, the head needed to go with the body into the water. The head was sinless, but the body, we desperately needed to be cleansed. And this was the means by which that communion would take place in a similar way to the way that it would be fulfilled on Calvary. What an extraordinary mystery. Let's do two applications. The first is that the Lord's always entering our reality. We might think it's not a place where the Lord can go, but he wills it because he wills to enter into our entire existence. Even those places which are so unworthy of him, he wills to enter. And what a great consolation that is, that in the midst of the lowest aspects of our life, even in those places where we have self-alienated from the Lord the most through sin, the Lord wants to enter right there to take away those sins. We feel unworthy of being loved at that level. But the Lord says, allow it, so that we might fulfill all righteousness. So we should never be afraid. For me as a priest, it's an extraordinary reality that God wants to use me to give you his own body and blood. If it was a shocking reality for John to hold water over Jesus' head and baptize him, how much even more when he hijacks my beautiful New England accent and my hands. But he does. And we've got to permit it. Likewise, in those days in which you might feel particularly unlovable, if you're ever tempted from below in that way, the Lord Jesus still chooses you to be his bride. You might recognize you're not fit to unstrap his sandal. But he chooses you all the same with love. And so you've got to permit it. Permit it not just at a superficial level, but at the depth of your entire being to know that you're loved and chosen in that way. To allow the Lord in, even to realities where we don't think it's fitting for him to go. and where our own sense of shame wants to put up a wall, he wants to blow up that door of resistance in the same way the heavens were ripped open. Second application is the way that together with us, the Lord wants to enter into other realities. Just as he entered into this communion through baptism with us, so he wants us yoked from the inside in all of these realities. And he wants us in a similar way to go where the sinners are, to insert ourselves in solidarity, in line with them, to bring him into those experiences. He has set up the fulfillment of all righteousness, not by his doing everything, but by his doing the work of salvation through his body. And he wants us, with that same humility, to enter into all of those, even cesspools, not losing our connection with him, but bringing him into those places so that he can do in those cesspools what he did in the Jordan. We know that the sacrament of baptism that Jesus instituted as he received John's symbolic baptism here, as he entered into the waters of the Jordan, he made those waters capable of doing what John's baptism symbolized, to actually take away the sins. We know that that leads to the sacrament of sacraments, which is the Eucharist, in which Jesus continues that work of communion. And if it was a shocker for Jesus to enter into the filthy waters flowing from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, how much more shocking is it that we, as you sang right before this Mass, a poor and humble servant eats the Lord. But the Lord wants us to permit that too, and not just at the first level, but at the real depth to which he wants to lead us. That's what we have a chance to do today, sisters. Please permit me, just at the end, to ask you to pray with me today for Father Sal Farragle, who was called home 20 years ago today. He was my spiritual director, and probably more influential on me than any other person. I've had the chance to meet St. John Paul II, St. Mother Teresa, one day St. Francois Xavier Win Van Tuan, and many other holy people over the course of time. Father Sal is definitely listed among them. I'll write an article later on today about him. But he died on Christmas in 1996. He was hearing the confession of Father John Agnew, whom I know many of you know. In the middle of that confession, he started to have a massive heart attack. He didn't let John know. He gave him the advice, he gave him the absolution, and after that prayer, may the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love, which was obviously not meant necessary for the sacrament, but a real prayer with which we finished that sacrament, after the very end of it, he said, John, please call an ambulance, I've just had a heart attack. And he ended up dying 2 weeks later. He had never recovered from that. But he was a martyr of the confessional. He was a martyr of the Eucharist, bringing so many of us to the Eucharist. And there was one conversation that I'll never forget. He did so many things in his priesthood. He was a spiritual director to many cardinals. But I was once having dinner with Cardinal Sean, and I asked, did you know Father Sal well? And he looked at me and he said, are you serious? I said, yeah. Did you do the seminar for seminarians that he set up, for which he would always get 9 bishops every year to form us as seminarians, in a day in which seminaries were a little crazy, so that we could get real solid food in the midst of chaos? He says, yeah, of course I did the seminar for seminarians, but he never told you. Told me what? After you couldn't get an application for the Archdiocese of Boston, and you were thinking about applying here, and you had told him that you were thinking about applying here, he drove down here It was a day in which I was meeting with lawyers for the sex abuse cases, and the meetings went all day. He didn't have an appointment. He just showed up and said, I'd like to have 5 minutes with him at some point when he has a chance. So we waited several hours there until Cardinal Sean had a chance to meet with him. And then he went on in and he said, there's a young man who's a Harvard student who's coming to see me. His name is Roger Landry. I know him very well. If he applies to the Diocese of Fall River, I strongly urge you to take him. And Sean did, but Sal never told me that he had intervened and given up a whole day and gone down there just to make sure that I would be ordained a priest to do what now we do together. Please pray for him with me. One day I'd love to see him canonized with those other saints I have met. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen forever.